Good afternoon and welcome to the Food Talk Show. My name is Margaret Scully and you're tuned to 103.2 Dublin City FM. Each week on this show, I talk to producers, chefs, farmers and people passionate about food and drink. I hope you can stay tuned for the next 30 minutes. If you would like to contact the show, please phone 01 865 8020 or text 087 977 1032. Irish whiskey was one of the earliest distilled drinks in Europe, arising from around the 12th century. It is believed that Irish monks brought the technique of distilling perfume back to Ireland from their travels to the Mediterranean countries around 1000 AD. On Thursday the 23rd of October, the Irish Whiskey Awards will take place at Kilbeggan Distillery, and on Saturday 25th of October, Whiskey Live takes place in the Mansion House. My guest today is Emmett Murphy from the Celtic Whiskey Shop on Dawson Street, and you're going to bring me up to speed on the latest trends in Irish whiskey. Good afternoon, Emmett.
Hello, how are you?
Look, thanks very much for coming in.
No problem, thank you.
Thanks for having us. You know, we've just been having a little pre-programmed chat there, and I realise how little I know about whiskies. And we were talking there about pot still and malted and mash.
Malted and unmalted, yes.
Malted and unmalted.
So, in Ireland, it's a very traditional style. I suppose it dates back to 1692. Now, don't quote me on
around then.
So, at the time, there would have been, like, all whiskies would have been made with 100% malted barley. So, the malting process is when you're pretty much steeping the barley in warm water, and you're making believe that it's spring, so it started to germinate. So at a later stage, when you're adding a distiller's yeast, it's germinating and it's all the sugars inside that it's actually turning the liquid into alcohol. Now, years and years ago, as I said, in the late 1600s, there would have been a very high taxation on malted barley. Now, in Ireland, to avoid that high taxation, we actually changed the mash bill, which would have consisted of 100% malted barley, to malted and unmalted green barley. So
and so by unmalted, it wasn't soaked?
No, not soaked. It's green. So
it's just green barley.
What you would see in a field.
What you would see in a field.
Yes.
And you can actually make whiskey from that as well?
You couldn't make whiskey out of 100% unmalted barley because it'd have no alcohol yield. But when you put it into malted barley, you will.
Okay.
It makes it a quite thick and creamy spirit.
So there has to be some degree of malting going on.
Yes.
And what about pure malt?
Yes, so then if you had
a single malt. Scots are into that, aren't they?
Yeah, well, they're produced in Ireland as well. There's some amazing single malt whiskies produced in Ireland, but the process is the very same. Your whiskey is made with 100% malted barley. It's matured in oak barrels, the very same as a Scottish whiskey would be, a Scottish single malt.
And is what about the period of time? How long is it in those barrels?
So it has to be a minimum of 3 years, otherwise it's not deemed to be called whiskey. Anything less and you just have a new make spirit.
Okay, and so like, you know the way these days, say, with milk and things, they seem to be able to make it last forever. You know, in the world of whiskey, have they thought up ways of speeding up the distillation process?
To be no speeding up of it, I think.
No.
What sculpts a whiskey is pretty much the barrel. So whether it be like an ex-bourbon barrel, it could be a sherry barrel, they're all giving different flavours, tastes and aromas to whiskies. And it's quite like, if you could imagine, if like the likes of this whiskey here has some sherry influence, you're getting like quite rich biscuity flavours off it.
And is that because it got a barrel that had sherry in it before?
Yeah, so an ex-sherry barrel.
From Spain or Portugal, yep, or somewhere. Yeah?
Yes.
And they get them over in Ireland. But traditionally, I suppose, were we oak barrels here? Or
oak
what?
Barrels, yeah. So it would be ex-bourbon barrels, so like American oak barrels.
Okay.
That previously would have held bourbon. So if you look at bourbon, it has to be matured in virgin oak barrels. Now, that's barrels that previously never held whiskey.
Okay, virgin oak barrels. And is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It's great for Irish whiskey and it's great for Scottish whiskey because we can... Those like Irish distilleries and Scottish distilleries can buy those ex-bourbon barrels and use it to mature their whiskey, as in America they cannot use them again.
Really?
Yeah, it's illegal for them to use them, those barrels again.
Is it?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Competition and keep jobs.
Oh, they must have a very strong barrel makers union that says yeah. they have to use new barrels every time.
Well, it's great.
Something like that, is it? Yeah. I don't know. Well, that's bizarre, isn't it?
It's great for...
Or they don't like recycling or something.
I doubt that.
Okay, that's very interesting. So basically what we're doing over here then is we're getting second-hand barrels from America, from bourbon makers.
The majority of them, yes.
Would it, really?
But there will be some virgin oak barrels used as well, but obviously they're a lot more expensive to use than an ex-bourbon barrel. Now, the price I would not be quite sure on, but
okay.
I do know it's considerably a lot cheaper.
Oh, that's very interesting. And so this is, so now we've got a number of different whiskies here in front of us. These are all from Midleton, are they?
Yes.
No, well, not from Midleton.
The Red Breast and the Green Spot are made down in Midleton.
And how old is Midleton Distillery? Is that one of Ireland's older distilleries?
It would be, yes.
One of the oldest, even?
Yeah. Probably has the, it's one of the newest distilleries looking, but it would be one, been around quite a long time.
Yeah, is that because, has it got some more new whiskies taken on, or are these the only two it makes down there?
No, so probably the big names, you're talking Jameson, is Jameson, Powers, Paddy. Then you've got the Redbreast range, you've got the Green Spot and Yellow Spot.
Are they all made down in Midleton?
Yeah, and then the Midleton range as well.
And were Powers and Paddy traditionally Midleton, or did they take them over?
They actually, in the late 60s, they moved from Dublin down to Jameson. So it was the creation of Irish distillers.
So Jameson were originally from Cork, was it?
Jameson would have been Dublin.
Dublin?
Yes.
Okay, and then Jameson moved to Cork?
Yeah, so there was, at the time there would have been no demand for Irish whiskey, so it was cheaper for all distilleries to go underneath one roof and keep producing.
And that was in the 60s?
Yes, late 60s.
Okay, and so I never realised that. So we think they're all in competition with each other, but they're actually all coming out of the one distillery.
Yeah, but you have other... Excuse me, you've got other distilleries as well. You've got the Cooley Distillery in Louth.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the Bushmills Distillery in Antrim. And then you've got Kilbeggan in Offaly.
Kilbeggan, and that's been taken over now by Cooley, is it? Or Teeling's?
It's actually owned by Jim Beam now, so...
Is it?
Yes.
And it's still up and running?
Yep. Quite very small, but...
So tell us a bit about the ones we have here, anyway, in front of us, Emmett.
So the first one is the Rider's Tears. Now, these are quite a new company, so it's actually from Walsh's Distilling Company.
Walsh's?
Yeah.
Never heard of them. Where are they?
They're, I was recently started a builder distillery in County Carlow.
In Carlow, okay.
Yep. So they're probably going to be up and running and distilling by January, hopefully.
Okay.
So they're after sourcing this from other distilleries. So it's a pot still and malt vatted together, married together.
Okay.
Would you like to try it?
Yeah, go on, tiny little drop. I am driving now, so I have to go real easy on me. Thank you.
It's very popular, actually.
Oh, it's a lovely sweet smell.
It's quite citrusy.
So, okay, tell me how you how one goes about tasting a whiskey as opposed to a wine or a beer, because I've done both recently, wine tasting and beer tasting.
Swirl it around
in the glass.
Give it a wee nose. Not too much, don't.
Okay.
And then swirl it around the mouth.
And then swirl it around the mouth.
Like it?
I love it. But you see, I love whiskey. So, But to me, it tastes quite like Powers or something.
It wouldn't be as spirit-driven as Powers would be. Powers would be known for being a very spirit-driven. This is probably quite light, delicate. And those, like, almost like... marmalade kind of feel from it.
Marmalade feels like
taste it again, does it?
Oh, it goes down very easily. So a marmalade feel. No, it's absolutely lovely, gorgeous. I can see why people get a tooth for the whiskey. And then we have so that's Rider's Tears, and I think they retail, the bottle is about 45
in the shop. Yes,
45 in the shop. And how are they going? Are they
very well? Yeah. Brilliant. Yeah. They sell, like, it's a great seller in the shop.
And is that the only whiskey from Walsh's, or have they got a number?
No, they have the Irishman range as well.
The Irishman range?
Yep.
I'm an Irish woman. I've never heard of the Irishman range. Is that for the export market?
No, it's for the Irish market as well. We have it in the shop. You have two single malts. One is a 12-year-old. One is a no-age statement. And then they have a Founder's Reserve.
One is a what? A no-age?
A no-age statement. So if you look at... that bottle there, it doesn't have an age statement on it.
Okay.
Towards if you look at the, just like Redbreast 12, for example. So
it's a 12-year-old.
Yeah, so the minimum age of the whiskey in there is 12 years old.
And so a no age is a minimum 3 years old, and you don't know how long after that, would it be?
It will be older, but they don't have to specify.
Okay.
Yeah, or they're not specifying.
And usually you pay more for the ones that have specified.
Depends.
But are they considered a, you know, a finer?
Sometimes.
Only sometimes, not all the time.
Depending on which ones.
Okay.
Yep.
So that's Writer's Tears. And I take it all of these are export market as well, yeah?
Some of them aren't.
Okay, and what about this one, Green Spot?
The Green Spot, it's a single pot still. So it's made, as we spoke earlier on, made with malted and unmalted green barley. So it's quite fruity and spicy.
Mm-hmm.
Has a bit of sherry influence in here as well. So almost like...
And this is from Middleton?
Yes. The brand Green Spotter is probably around... It's probably over 100 years old.
This is...
You know the wine marshal, Martins, Mitchell and Sons?
Yeah.
Used to be on Kildare Street.
Now down in IFSC.
Now IFSC.
Mm-hmm.
So years and years ago, they would have been buying casks from Milton or Jameson even at the time. And as the story goes, they used to have them in their warehouse. And if the whiskey was ready for bottling, they would put a green spot on it. And if it wasn't ready, or hence it needed another 2 years, they would put a yellow spot on it. So this, they have a green spot and yellow spot in their range. But they are made down in Milton now.
So that's Green Spot, triple distilled. So is that a thing as well? It depends how many times they've been distilled.
Well,
single pot still, triple distilled.
Triple distilled, I suppose, is something you would associate with Irish whiskey. Like most of it is, but we do have double distilled whiskey as well.
Okay.
Something that probably double distilled whiskey would be, people would say, all Scottish whiskey is double distilled and smoky, which they're not. Like, and the Connemara range in Ireland is a smoked double distilled whiskey, which is...
Where's that from?
It's actually made up in Cooley.
How many distilleries are there in Ireland?
At the minute there is four, but there will be, hopefully in the next 3 years, 25.
Wow. Is that because it's just getting increasingly popular?
Yeah.
So in the Celtic Whiskey Shop, I think you have a good few tourists going in there, do you?
We would, yes.
Is it a real thing to come to Ireland, get an iron jumper and a bottle of whiskey, really, is it?
On your way, yes. No, but there's an awful lot of whiskies then that would be only available in the shop and only available in Ireland, so...
They say you've got the biggest range of whiskey in Ireland. Would you say that's true?
Hopefully, yes.
If we're going to take a break now and have some music, and then we'll talk a little bit more after that. So we're going to have The Small Fire by Mick Flannery.
Man worried about the big bomb flying, worried about the ocean rising, thinking on the day that he died, wonder if he were ever alive. When the same day he saw the big blue sky, was the same day they were closing his eyes.
So that was The Small Fire by Mick Flannery, and you're listening to Food Talk on 103.2 Dublin City FM. And I'm joined in studio today by Emmett Murphy from the Celtic Whiskey Shop on Dawson Street. Now, Emmett, we were just talking there before the music, and we just realised that Kilbeggan is actually in County Westmeath, not Offaly. We both thought about that at the same time.
We both failed geography.
We both failed on that one. But come here to me now. I want to find out about this Whiskey Live event that you have coming up in the Mansion House. And that's taking place on Saturday, the 25th of October.
Yeah.
So what's going on?
So it's Ireland's largest whiskey sampling event. So you've got the biggest range of Irish distilleries, Scottish distilleries, Japanese and American distilleries all under one roof.
Japanese distilleries?
Yeah, so there's going to be Yamazaki and Nikka being represented there. Then you have like there's more to it than obviously whiskey sampling. You also have food and whiskey pairings done by three of the probably the best restaurants in Dublin: Cole, El Mulligan Grocer, and Eto. You've got whiskey and chocolate, which everybody loves chocolate.
Which chocolate?
Coco Allure.
Coco Allure.
Yeah. Absolutely fantastic. Then you also
are they the ones on Drury Street, around there somewhere? Coco Allure. Yeah. Okay.
Then you have like obviously cocktails. We're bringing over Jack McGarry. He is known for being the probably at the present time the best cocktail barman in the whole world.
Jack McGarry.
Yeah.
And where's he coming from?
He's coming from New York. He works in the Dead Rabbit. He's doing master classes as well. So there's limited tickets available for the master classes. But as well, there's like specialists in Dublin as well, like cocktail specialists, like from Six. So you've got Bull and Castle, Cole, Harry's, the Exchequer, Bar 37, and Paul Lambert doing their own cocktails, which is amazing. Then you also have whiskey aged beer.
Whiskey aged beer, okay. And who does that?
So we've got Altec. They have a Kentucky Bourbon Ale.
And then we've tried it. We know Altec down here, actually.
Then you've got O'Hara's from County Carlow. They have a barrel aged Lanfalan, it's called.
Right.
Yeah, it's very nice.
So they're going to be there as well.
Yep.
So all in all, it's it sounds like a great event. And so there's going to be an afternoon session and an evening session.
Yeah.
And the afternoon session is 2 o'clock to 5:30, and the evening session is from 6 to 9:30. And the tickets are £37.50, and they're available from yourselves in the Celtic Whiskey Shop on Dawson Street. And so tell me, so what do you get for your ticket?
You get a sample, everything.
Everything.
You get a sample, everything, yeah. And then out of, the tickets are £37.50, but we'll donate a minimum of €10 to Down Syndrome Dublin, which is great.
Yeah, no, that's really, really good. And so, and you get food included in that as well?
Yeah, the food pairings are included in that.
So it'll be basically going around having little samples of food and samples of whiskey. And will there be like little talks and people?
Yeah, like there's a lot of new distilleries, like new Irish distilleries, like take Blackwater, Dingle and Eckinville. They'll be doing some talks about what they're going to be doing in the future.
So will you get a chance to meet the distillers themselves?
Yes.
Will they actually be there?
Yes.
And the Japanese distillers?
Probably not the Japanese ones, but there will be brand ambassadors represented.
Okay, can I just ask you quickly, are they, you know, recognised as good whiskey distillers in
Fantastic.
Japan? So you're going to have whiskey there from Ireland, Scotland, America and Japan, and that's in the Mansion House. Well, Emmett, I'm afraid that's all we've got time for today.
Thank you so much
for coming in
and
talking to me about whiskey and giving me tastes of whiskey. Best of luck with the event. And is there a website for that event, is there?
You can get the link through the CelticWhiskeyShop.com.
CelticWhiskeyShop.com.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's all we've got time for today. You can listen back to today's show on podomatic.foodtalk.com. Thank you for listening. Stay tuned to 103.2 Dublin City FM, because coming up next is Mediascope with Ellen Gunning. I'm Margaret Scully, and Food Talk will be back next Tuesday at 1 p.m. Until then, have a great week.